25. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Your word is not just printed text on page. Your word is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You said the words that I speak unto you are spirit and their life. Lord, I pray, let this word be quickened in our hearts today. Open our eyes that we can see, that we can know all that you have prepared for us. We want to walk where you have ordained for us to walk. We want to experience the fullness of the life that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We open this passage of scripture today. The previous part of the text tells about how two disciples were walking down the road one day, shortly after Jesus has been crucified. They're downcast. Their hearts are broken. And they're talking amongst themselves, and they're saying one to another about the things that had happened and how that they had believed that Jesus was going to be the one that would deliver them from the Roman rule and would set them free and bring them out of that captivity and put them on the top. And they were believing that. And so they were so discouraged and so disappointed. And then Jesus comes into the mix and Jesus begins to talk to them. And they start talking to him. And they say to him, he asks him, what are you talking about? What's going on? And what's the matter? What's got you so upset? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they said, which was a prophet mighty indeed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all that, today is the third day since these things were done. I want to talk to you about this thought today, and on this thought, burning hearts. Burning hearts. The Bible says, as Jesus sat with them at meat and took bread with them, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then they began to say to one another, after Jesus vanished from their presence, they began to say, did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us and talked with us and opened the scriptures to us along the way? Let's talk a minute about the word burn. Webster's definition is to be on fire, to produce a flame, to give off heat, to undergo combustion, to undergo nuclear fission or fusion, to be hot. This is what happened to these two disciples of Jesus. When Jesus came near to them and he began to open the scriptures to their understanding, their hearts woke up. Their hearts caught on fire. Their hearts got hot. inside of their chest. This is the truth today, and I don't want to sound mean, but the church in general has lost its heartburn. Oh, my friend, multitudes today are very religious, but their hearts are cold. There's no heat. There's no fire. There's no nuclear fission. There's no flame. There's no passion. There's no zeal. And this may shock some of us today, but God is not just looking for people who look good and do the right thing. God is looking for people whose hearts burn with a passion for Him and who are on fire for Him. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody lift your hand and say, God, set my heart on fire. He's not just looking for people to fill up pews and to fill up church buildings. The Bible says in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. He said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What Jesus was saying was, yes, you did good things, even the right things, but I never knew you. You never had a burning heart for me. Did not our hearts burn within us? The word heart means affections. It means desires. It means passions. It means emotions. It means appetites. It speaks of the center of our being. Out of the heart proceeds. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm not preaching, just preaching today, but I'm prophesying in this house today that somebody's heart is going to catch fire. Somebody's heart is going to burn with heaven's fire. Oh, I just wish you'd lift your hands and tell God, send the fire to my heart today. Come on, tell him, just send the fire to my heart. I don't want a flicker. I don't want a soft shimmering glow, but I want a blazing fire. I want my heart to burn for God today. I want my heart to burn for Jesus. I want a passion for Jesus. I want my affections and my appetites and my desires to be for Jesus. If there ever was a time when the church needed to be on fire for God, it's in this hour. We see people all around us that are on fire. Some are on fire to save the whales. Some are on fire to save a rare field rat. Some are on fire for human rights. But the place that is supposed to be best known for the fire of God, the people that are supposed to be synonymous with the fire of God, in many cases are strangely cold. I know the fire of God is not just emotions, it's not just enthusiasm. But I promise you, wherever the fire of God falls, there will be emotionalism. There will be enthusiasm. Somebody say, well, we just have to be careful for that wildfire. That's what we want to watch out for, preacher. We got to be careful that wildfire. But you know, we don't have to worry too much about wildfire because there's always enough wet blankets to put it out. I'm not worried about wildfire. I'm concerned about no fire. At one time, the church had a reputation for being on fire. People would come to church to watch the show. And while they were watching the fire of God, while they were watching the show, the fire of God would get on them. Hallelujah. Because the fire of God is contagious. But sadly today, in many of our full gospel churches, the fire doesn't fall anymore. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. My friend, I wish it wasn't true, but the truth is many of our preachers today are social drinkers and gamblers. All many of our preachers care about is money and popularity and social acceptance, and many are bound by pornography and lust. No wonder sin has become comfortable in the pew. No wonder, my friend, there's no fire in the pulpit. My dad always told me, it takes fire in the pulpit to melt the ice in the pew. No wonder sin has become comfortable. When there's fire, fire purifies. The fire of God sanctifies. The fire of God delivers. The fire of God exposes sin. And the fire of God destroys sin. When the fire of God burns in the heart of the preacher, there'll be conviction in the pew. When there's fire in the pulpit, sin will not be comfortable in the pew. I want you to know every sinner is welcome to walk through these doors, but I don't believe that every sinner can remain in this house in their sin, because there is a word in this house, and there's a fire in this house, and there's a Holy Ghost in this house, and this Holy Ghost will convict you of your sin, and He will draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ. If sin is comfortable in the pew, it's because the pulpit has lost its fire. We can curse the darkness. We can say it's because the devil is so strong and powerful and sin is running rampant. But it's wrong. All darkness is the absence of light. If darkness is great, it's because the light has refused to shine. He said, Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. That means it was hot, but it shall wax cold. The love of many, he's speaking of a first love. Our first love for God is a hot love. It's a fire. It's a flame. You don't have to be begged to come to church. That first love says, I'm going to church. If they have church every night, I'm going to be there. If they have revival every night, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go to this church because they're having revival. And then I'm going to go to that church because they're having revival. And then I'm going to go to that church because they're having revival. And you don't have to beg them and pump them and prime them to praise God or worship God. And you don't have to beg them and pump them and prime them to get them out to the prayer meeting because they want to pray. They want to talk to God. They want to be in the presence of God. They want to fellowship with God's people. Hallelujah! But he said their love will wax cold. Our first love is a hot heartburn for God. To know Him, to serve Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to be close to Him, to go to church, to pray, read His Word, seek His face, worship Him, spend time in His presence. But when we begin to be tolerant toward the flesh and sin, we start making allowances for our disobedience, then the fire begins to die. Maybe slowly at first, maybe it's just little things at first. Maybe it's just a wrong thought, not repented of. Then it's a wrong word, not repented of. Then it's what I watch on television. Then it's what I allow to come on my computer. And then it's wrong actions on my own part, not repented of. And the fire is fading. There's no desire for the Word of God. You can't find time to pray anymore. Churches become boring. You lose your desire to fellowship with the saints. How many thousands of people today are in churches, but their hearts are not in it? They're going through the motions, but their hearts are not hot for God anymore. At one time, their hearts were on fire for God. They were hungry for God. They were never satisfied. They were like Smith Wigglesworth. They were always wanting more. But the fire has faded. And the hunger has faded, and the passion for Jesus is gone, and now their hearts are lukewarm. And what does Jesus say about lukewarm? Because you are lukewarm, he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. The term lukewarm is those who started out on fire, those who had a hot heat. Their hearts have become passive and indifferent toward God. Now they have a take it or leave it attitude. And now it's just a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And Jesus said, so then because you are lukewarm and you are not hot and you're not cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. That word spew literally means vomit. This is those who at one time were on fire for God. Their hearts burned with the fire of love and devotion. But now the fire is gone. The passion is gone. And they're just going through the motions. Let me just say it this way. They're just pretending. They're, oh yes, you're a great pretender. Churches are filled with actors. I'm telling you, some are better than actors in Hollywood. Jesus said, these people make me sick in my stomach. He said, I would rather you be cold, which means never have experienced the fire, never had a relationship with God, or be hot and be on fire for God with a love for God rather than lukewarm. Friend, listen, lukewarm Christianity is no Christianity at all. Lukewarm Christianity is a better testimony for the devil than for Christ. Can I just tell you something? I don't want to make anybody mad, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Heaven only claims those whose hearts are on fire for God. Jesus said, I'll spew out the lukewarm. That means they're rejected. That means there's no place in the presence of God for the lukewarm. The church may have made the lukewarm people comfortable in their lukewarm condition, but the Christ rejects lukewarmness. Hallelujah! I would rather be accepted by Christ and rejected by the church than be accepted by the church and rejected by Christ. There's no greater hindrance to the work of God in the earth than lukewarm Christianity. There's no greater help in advancing the kingdom of God than those who are on fire for God, whose hearts burn with His love, and they burn with a love for the lost. If you're to judge by many of our churches today, you would think the fire of God died. You would think the fire went out. But according to the Word of God, our God is a consuming fire. He's not a God who was. He is the I am. I am that I am. And He said, I am a consuming fire. If our God is a consuming fire, if He was, He is. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands for just a minute and praise Him. Lift your hands and stir this atmosphere. God, we thank You for the fire of God today. What was it that separated the children of Israel from the rest of the world? It was the fire of God. It was the fact that they had fire in their presence. There was fire in their altar. There was fire on the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory of God was with them. The fire of God led them through the wilderness. The Bible said when God sat down on the top of Mount Zion, the fire of God was on the mountain, and the fire of the mountain began to shake, and it began to smoke, and there was a sound of a great trumpet, a supernatural sounding of the trumpet, and so terrible was the sight that even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and tremble and quake. I'm telling you, our God is a consuming fire. And if you get close to Him, you're going to catch on fire. Everybody say contagious.
Contagious.
If we're going to see the glory of God in our churches, if we're going to carry the glory of God, we must be on fire for God.
Amen.
The identifying characteristic of the true church of God is fire.
Right.
Everything that has to do with God has to do with fire. Before Isaiah was fitted to carry the gospel to his people, he had to have an encounter with the fire of God. Before Ezekiel was fitted for his ministry as a prophet to the house of Israel, he had to have an encounter with the fire of God. If we're going to have the glory of God in our lives, and if we're going to have any kingdom impact on this world, we are going to have the fire of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, he said he was a flame from his head to his waist, his loins, and from his loins down to his feet. He was the flame of fire. When John saw him in the book of Revelation, he said he had feet like they'd been burned in a furnace, and he had eyes of fire. This God that we serve is a consuming fire. I'm afraid today that our churches, many of our churches, are a poor representative of the holy God that we serve. A poor representative of the fervency and the fire and the passion and the zeal and the glory and the power of our God. Come on, lift your hands and tell God today, I want fire.
I want fire.
I want fire. I want fire. I want fire. I want fire. I want fire. Oh, Shatai. Hallelujah. I want you to stand. We're almost done. I'm not holding you long today. Come on, I want you to stand today. If you're lukewarm, say, man of God, I don't have the fire I used to have. I don't have the passion I used to have. I don't have the zeal I used to have. I don't have the longing and the yearning to be in God's presence. I don't have the passion to get in His word anymore. I don't have the zeal to want to be in fellowship with the saints. I've lost something. My friend, there's an answer for you. You can repent. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, repent. He said, repent and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Jesus said, there's room for you. If you've grown cold in your soul, if your love has waxed cold, friend, you can repent and you can get a fresh fire. You can get a fresh anointing today. You can get it. God will take a coal from off the altar of God like he took a coal from off the altar and he pressed it to Isaiah's lips. And he said, now your lips are purged. Now you've been to the fire and the fire has touched you and the fire has consumed you. And now you can go and you can prophesy. Oh, God. I want you to lift your hands all over this building and tell God, send the fire. With Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God, we want the fire. As the leader of this house, Lord, as the head of this house, as the pastor of this house, I'm asking you for fire, Lord. Send the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, in every member, in every person, upon every person, Lord. Baptize us with the fire of God. Oh, we want burning hearts. We want burning hearts, God. We want burning hearts, Lord God. Lord, I know that the love of many is waxing cold. Lord, I know that many are growing cold and lukewarm and indifferent, and they're losing their fire and they're losing their passion. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, Lord. We can decide today that we're going to be the church on fire. We can decide today that we're going to be the church that pursues the fire. We're going to be the church that's not going to be satisfied with anything less than the holy fire of God falling on us and consuming. For there is a fire that is ever burning upon the altar, saith the Lord. There is a fire that burns in the altar of my presence. And I call unto you this day. I call unto you this hour. Come near unto me, saith God. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Come close to me, saith God, and I will take this fire off of my altar, and I will baptize you afresh with my fire, and with my anointing, and with my presence, and with my glory. And then you shall go forth, saith God, and you shall be my burning ones. And everywhere you go, saith God, there shall be a trail of fire, for you shall carry my fire with you. I want everybody in this house who realizes we need the fire of God. I want you to come quick. You realize you need the fire of God in your life, in your home, in your family. The reason some of our children, some of our kids, some of our family not saved yet is because they haven't seen the fire. They haven't felt the fire. I'm going to tell you something. The fire of God starts moving. People start thinking. People start feeling something. You get around them, they start feeling something. They said about Smith Wigglesworth, he just sat down in the coach. He just sat down. And when they sat down, people said, you convict me. Something about your presence convicts me. Come on, tell them, cry out to God. God, we need a baptism of fire. We know, God, that the love of many is waxed cold. We know, God, that much lukewarmness, Lord, is spread across this land. God, we want our hearts to burn for you. We want our hearts to be on fire for you today, God. We want to burn with a heavenly zeal. We want to burn with a holy zeal. holy fire. Oh God, hallelujah, fire. Oh God, set our hearts on fire today, God. Oh God, ignite us with the fire from up your altar today, God. There's a fire burning on the altar of your presence today, God. Oh, the Saladios, Haladiakaya. God, anoint your people today. God, pour out your spirit today, Lord. A purifying fire, a sanctifying fire, God. A purging fire, a cleansing fire, God. Lord, we repent of lukewarmness. We repent of passivity. We repent, Lord, of indifference. We repent of a take it or leave it attitude, God. We want your fire. We want your glory. We want your presence. We want your power. We want you, God, to show up in our lives and manifest in our lives and manifest in our churches and in our families, oh God. We want the fire of God. Oh, God, we want to burn with a passion for the lost, God. Lord, give us a burden for the lost, God. Give us a burden for our country, God. Give us a burden for our families, our children, God. Give us a burden for our community, God. God, you said when Zion travails, she'll bring forth sons and daughters. Oh, God, let there be a fire. God, a fire of travail. Let there be a fire, God, where you implant within us, God, a new zeal, a new passion, a new burden, a new longing, a new yearning to see your kingdom come and your will done. Come on. Can I just call everybody for a few minutes and just find yourself a place to kneel and pray? Come on, the Bible said, let the priest weep between the porch and the altar. Come on, it's time for us to call on God. It's time for, my God, if we need ever need a revival, it's today. If this United States of America ever need a revival, it's today. If we ever need a revival, it's today. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not of. God, we need you today. Oh, God, don't pass us by. We know there's revival in the earth, God. 100,000 people and more joined in Los Angeles at Azusa now to cry out to God, to rend the heavens, Lord, and come down. Rend the heavens and come down. Let the fire of God fall as it fell on Mount Carmel. Let the fire of God fall as it fell at the end of Solomon's prayer and consumed all the sacrifice. Let the fire of God fall, oh God. We're a people of fire because we serve a God of fire. Oh. Do it again, God. Dile curas de capraste que rebeste cava satura bacaria saia. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him on your knees like you did when you're standing up. Talk to him. God, we need you. Oh, God. We need you. Oh, my family needs you. My children need you. My son, my daughters, my brothers, my sisters, they need you, God. They need to see you, and they need to see your fire in me. They need to see the glory of God in me. They need to see a difference in me. God, your presence in me needs to convict them. Your life in me needs to convict them, God. You said you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
the fire of God. It's our time, God. It's our time. It's our time, Lord. It's our season. It's our time for visitation, Lord. You visited Wales. God, you poured out your spirit on Azusa Street in the 1900s. God, but in 2016, you're the same. And you're still visiting this planet. Send the fire. Send the fire, Lord. Send the fire. Purge your church. Purge your church. Cleanse us, oh God. Wash us, Lord. Jesus. There's hope for America. There's hope for America. You're not through with us, God. You're not through with this nation. But you said we've got to ask. You said we've got to weep between the porch and the altar. You said we've got to sanctify a fast. You said we've got to call a solemn assembly. There's a time for running and jumping and dancing. There's a time for weeping and mourning. There's a time to rend our hearts and not our garments. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the fire of God. It's real. It's real. His two disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us? How long have you been since your heart burned within you? How long has it been since your heart ached to get to church? How long has it been since your heart burned because you just couldn't wait to get away from people to get in the presence of God? You just had to get there. You had to get there. Because your heart was burning. Praise of God
Let me tell you something. When you start contending for the fire, and you start contending for the supernatural realm of God, God starts showing up and manifesting himself, you might be called some names. What happens if you walk into the beauty salon and you say, you know, on a service the other day, we were sitting there, glory of God came in the house, and gold dust just started falling out of the sky. You can look at you and say, what? Or you say, feathers just started floating here when they got that. Feathers. Or somebody was sitting there and they had and God just filled their tooth with gold. Or all of a sudden somebody jumped up and said, look at my hand! And oil was just running off their hands. Oh, you know what? Don't expect everybody's gonna think, wow, that's a church I want to come to. Some of them are going to say, that's a church I want to stay away from. That's what we have to decide. What do we want most? Do we want the supernatural? Do we want the fire? Do we want the glory? Or do we want the praise of men? We want the fire. We want the fire. Would you lift your hands one more time to the Lord and tell him, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the fire. We're a people of fire. That's our heritage. Tell him, Lord, that's our heritage. That's our heritage, Lord. You are a consuming fire. You make your angels ministering spirits and your ministers flames of fire. God, we are your burning ones. Set us on fire. Just like Samson set those foxes on fire. And then, Lord, turn us loose to run with the fire. Everywhere we go. Would you stand with me? We're going to dismiss. Told you about Smith Wigglesworth. He said, it was said of him, Smith Wigglesworth only wrote one book in his life. Himself. But there's been many books written about him. And one of the books said about him, the first thing I told you, he walked into the room, sat down, conviction fell on the people. Not only him, Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a lawyer who was trying to find God, but he couldn't find him in church. I'm serious. He was a lawyer. He came to church, and they said, do you want us to pray for you? He said, I don't think I should want you to pray for me, because it seems to me you never get your prayers answered. You're still praying about the same thing today I've been hearing you pray about since I was a kid. And you don't have any answers. But Charles Finney found God. And God put a fire in Charles Finney. God put a fire in John Wesley. Let me read this to you. We're done. Let me read this to you about John Wesley. John Wesley. How many know that the Wesleyan movement, Methodist movement, what come out of John Wesley's life. Amen. That's where it came from. Let's see if I can find this. May not even be here. Anyway, John Wesley was consumed with the fire of God. He rode over 240,000 miles on horseback. He wrote, he spoke 10 different languages. He wrote about 40 books or more. When he was in his 80s, 85 years old, I believe it was, he was very disappointed in himself because he said, I have developed the bad habit of sleeping in to the late hour of 5:30 a.m. He's very disappointed that he had wasted most of the day. I'm just telling you this for this fact. We have a rich heritage of fire.
Amen.
We have a rich heritage of Pentecostal fire. Amen. And John said, when Jesus baptizes you, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. As we're dismissed, I want you to lift your hands and I want you to thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Father. As a body of believers today, we thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. As a body of believers, we thank you today, God, for the heritage, the rich heritage that we have of the presence and the power and the glory and the anointing of God in our lives. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it. Sister Portia, would you come? Would you come for just a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, remain standing and just stretch your hands this way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother, need someone just come stand behind her, please. You can come stand with her. I just have a word for you today. I heard the Lord say to me, he said, arise and shine, my daughter. The Lord said to tell you that you're entering a new season. I heard the Lord say that you have been in a season of obscurity, almost feeling like on the shelf. Maybe the terminology I would use. But the Lord, I like you. Come on, stretch your hands this way, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the Lord said, arise and shine, my daughter, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And the Lord said, he's bringing you out of that season of obscurity, out of that feeling and that sense of being on the shelf. And God said there's gifts in you and there's anointings in you that he is stirring up and that he's waking up. And the glory... Come on, lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Raise your hands. And the Lord said today, he said he's going to put a fresh anointing on you. He's going to put a fresh anointing on you. And a fresh glory is coming on your life. For the Lord says, you have seen my glory in days gone by. But the Lord said, I am not done. And the Lord says, some would say that it is a fading glory and it has faded away. But I would say that it is not a fading glory. I would say that it is only a foretaste of glory divine that is coming. And the glory that you have seen in your early days, the Lord would say, if you will follow me, if you will pursue me, if you will passionately seek me out, I will do in your latter days, and I will bring a greater glory in your latter days than your former days. And all that see thee will know that my glory is upon you. For not only will it be in your spirit, but it will show on your face, even as it shone on Moses' face, as he spent time in my presence, and his face shone with the glory of that relationship. Even so, saith the Lord, I'm bringing you into a new season of glory. Lift your hands and worship him right now. Come on and worship him. There's an anointing in this house right now. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to claim that last part of that for myself. A new season of glory. Why don't you just do that right all over the house? Just reach up your hands and say, Lord, I claim that for myself. A new season of glory. A new season of glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, burning ones. Go spread the fire. Amen. Hey, Brother Kenny.
I'd like to have a special prayer for the Miranda family.
Come here, please, Brother Frank. And this is your brother?
Good pastor, Eli's daddy.
Okay. Frank just lost a brother. You found that Friday?
Found that Friday.
Oh, been dead a while. All right, well, let's pray for the family, you know, especially for Brother Frank and the immediate family here and Brother Eli. Lord Jesus, I just pray for strength today. Holy Spirit, all through the Word, you are the Comforter. That's our first introduction to you, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. Comfort this family today, the immediate family and the rest of the family, Lord. Be with them, Lord, today and days to come, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that through this, somehow you will show yourself. Show yourself. Manifest your love to this family. Lord, just let them see and know you love them and care for them, Lord God. Lord, that you will lift them up and give them peace in a time of trouble. Peace, Lord, in a time of turmoil, God. Grace, God, because you're the God of all grace. And there is a grace for every season in our lives, Lord. There's a season for taking hold, and there's a season for letting go. And there's a grace for every season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.